This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the USA. How are you doing, Nick?
Hey, Johnny. I'm doing well. How are yourself?
Very good. Looking forward to the weekend, actually. It's going to be a big week next week over here in the UK because we're going to have the first ever female chancellor, Rachel Reeves, budget. Of course, this is a financial statement which takes in public spending, potential tax rises, and so on. And it's a big deal over here because we haven't had anything like this from a Labour government for 15 years or so. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And there's so many rumours as to what Rachel Reeves is going to do. But before we get to that, I was interested to ask you about the breakdown, the current correlation breakdown we have at the moment between bonds and gold, which are usually inextricably linked. But there's a separation going on at the moment, isn't there?
There is. And just to touch on the UK situation, it'll be very interesting to see anytime there is talks of spending and the central bank, of course, dealing with their inflation at the same time. You know, we did see the UK's inflation came down to 1.7%. It's very curious to see what their decisions on the spending front will look like, what the budgeting stuff will look like, similar to the US and any other central bank and government. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. You asked me about the bond and gold breakdown of correlation. I flagged this when we were discussing ideas for the podcast because it's a really important subject. What we've seen here in recent times, and for listeners, you may not see what I'm looking at, but if you're able to pull up the gold chart on a daily candle and then take a look at TLT, which is the 20 plus year treasury bond ETF, what you'll see is that over the longer term, there's been pretty positive correlation between these two things. That is until the last few months. And one of the big reasons here that this is worth mentioning is that there's the option for investors to trade stocks, to buy and hold stocks. They can invest in, you know, cryptocurrency. They can buy gold, silver, bonds. But usually these two things generally move in the same direction. They're very dependent on the dollar, right? A stronger dollar indicates that expectations for inflation may be higher, that the Federal Reserve may not cut their interest rates or may keep rates higher for longer. And usually those impacts cause the actual value of bonds and gold to move in a similar direction. We've seen the dollar index be very strong in recent months, which we've talked about a lot, thanks to some strong labor data. But there's been this recent story forming, and you can really start to see the correlation between gold and bonds break down around mid-September, where bonds have started to decline. Basically, interest rate yields have bond yields have gone up alongside the dollar, which does make sense. But where a little bit of confusion has been for many investors is, well, shouldn't that also cause gold to go down? Traditionally speaking, usually a stronger dollar pushes gold lower, right? The idea basically being, well, the Fed's probably going to keep rates higher. That's not particularly bullish for gold. But there's a divergence here in the usual correlation, I think, because of what we started out the podcast talking about. We talk about the UK, we talk about the Bank of England, you talk about all these other central banks, not just the US, that are looking to cut rates. And as a global stage, that's very bullish for gold. Even if the Fed may slow their pace just slightly on rate cuts, well, that doesn't completely mean that the other central banks will do the same. We're starting to see central banks like the Bank of Canada this week, we saw cut their rates by a surprise 50 basis points, which caused gold, it continues to drive gold prices higher. The other thing that I think is a divergence factor between bonds and gold is government spending. Now, gold oftentimes will rally in the face of high expected government spending as people start to get a little bit nervous about the national debt and whether this could cripple the economy and, you know, maybe get out of stocks and want to be into something else. A quick example, historical lesson would be to go look at the price of gold back in 2008 when people really lost faith in the global financial system with everything that happened in the U.S. and, of course, with the U.S. Exporting their debt all over the world. It had a global impact, the 2008 financial crisis. And gold during that time skyrocketed, right? We saw gold go up 2011. There was a massive run-up in gold prices as people were really uncertain about the ability of the, you know, the Fed and the government to get things back on track. When we look at TLT, when we look at bonds going down, part of the reason here, I think, is that yields are up because people think the government spending is not going to slow. And perhaps there's a little bit of uncertainty as to whether or not we can actually keep inflation where it's at. We've had a lot of progress in terms of inflation in the last, you know, year or so, but there is the possibility that if government spending is very strong and that labor data continues to hold up, we could reverse course and actually start to see inflation rise again. That, I would say, is why bonds are down. And then, but then the question is, well, then why isn't gold taking on some pressure from the dollar's strength? Well, one of the big reasons is, of course, what we keep saying on the podcast. We have election and Middle East uncertainty. There's a lot of people nervous about what is the next 12 months going to look like. Is there going to be, you know, escalation in the Middle East? Are we going to see, you know, Donald Trump round two, which could come with a lot of different questions? If you remember, and listeners may listen as well, under Donald Trump, we did have some real uncertainties around the trade war with China. The Taiwan situation comes into question. Is he actually able to, you know, change anything over in Ukraine and Russia? These are question marks that investors have, regardless of how, you know, we feel about them. That's how the market is wondering about them. We don't know. These are not known answers. And that uncertainty definitely causes gold to rally in the face of it. That being said, stocks are up a lot today. And we're seeing, generally speaking, risk on seems to be still intact, but there is a rising uncertainty clearly by the price of gold hitting $2,700 an ounce, currently trading at $2,738 spot price here today.
Before we talk about the UK budget next week, of course, the other big event for next week will be the latest non-farm payroll numbers, the US jobs numbers. And there'll be a close eye on that, of course, because these are a big indicator in terms of what the Fed might do with rates. What are the predictions at the moment as to where we're going to be with that number?
Yeah, so next week we have, as you mentioned, the NFP report. Forecast is for 125,000 jobs to be added. Previously, we saw 254,000, so a lower number. The analysts have their reasons for, you know, coming up with these forecasts. They're the analysts for a reason. They come up with these numbers. Now, these numbers have been all over the place, and recently we've seen a really big beat in those jobs added. I think that the market wants to see strong jobs continue to roll in. We don't want to see too hot jobs because that could be inflationary, but you also don't want to see weak jobs. That's kind of been the stance we've taken on the podcast on this for the last few months, is too hot is problematic for inflation, but too little could show signs of a recession or slowing economy. So next week, we'll see if those numbers come in. The other one is, of course, the unemployment rate, which currently sits at 4.1%. The forecast is for it to remain at 4.1%.
And those numbers might be important in terms of the presidential election, which is happening, wow, only a few days away now, the week after next. And it's such a massive presidential election, isn't it, really? I can't remember a time where more is at stake for the United States and the world, indeed, both economically, politically. Markets are entitled to be fairly jittery at the moment because it is too close to call. And as I said, these indicators may or may not help the current incumbency, the Democrats, although I get the feeling that they're a bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, in terms of election probabilities, I just pulled it up while we were discussing the probabilities for Trump and Harris to win. I'm going off of predictit.org's betting market odds. We're currently looking at about a 59% chance for Donald Trump. So a slight preference that's changed in recent times, but still, as you mentioned, too close to call. It's not like we're looking at like 80-20 or anything like that.
Even so, 59%, considering where Kamala Harris was, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, it's looking likely that we're going to see a second term for Donald Trump.
It's looking increasingly likely over the last few weeks, that's for sure. There's been swings in both directions. I mean, when it was Biden-Trump, it looked very favorable towards Trump. Then Kamala Harris took a big swing, and now it seems to be sort of teetering back and forth between the midpoint. We'll see, with just a few days to go, as you mentioned, very, very close to seeing what the results actually come out to be. As you mentioned, markets sort of entitled to be a little uncertain as we count down the days.
So much going on at the moment, Nick, and we haven't really, I mean, you alluded to it earlier on, that the situation in the Middle East and actually whether the election result is going to impact on what Israel does in terms of Iran. I should mention our budget, although I have to say, in comparison to what's going on in the United States at the moment, looks like a minor event, but it isn't really. As I said in the opening, it's Rachel Reeves' first ever budget as Chancellor, and it looks like she's going to be fairly bold and some might argue quite risky. She has to raise something like £40 billion. Now, how's she going to do that? Well, there'll be a string of tax rises, although we're not sure what they are at the moment, billions of pounds of cuts to some public spending, and tens of billions of investment in infrastructure projects funded by more borrowing after she loosened the debt fiscal rule. And that actually has sparked fears of higher mortgage rates going against the grain, where we are expecting mortgage rates to go down. As I said, there's this black hole. They say something like £22 billion of black hole in the public finances, which she claims she inherited from the previous Conservative government. They've denied that. How she raises taxes after the promises of the manifesto when they said no income tax rises, no national insurance rises. So where is her wriggle room? There are possible plans to have higher capital gains tax as well. There are so many rumours at the moment, it's difficult to know and predict what she's going to do. But I'm not sure what markets really feel about this. Obviously, there is this big black hole, as they call it. There's also a planning of a hike on employers' pension contributions. So that's national insurance on employers' pension contributions, which won't go down well with employers.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, Johnny, just in general, whether it's, you know, UK, US, the bigger question is just how does this impact, for market's sake, the inflation story, right? That's kind of been the theme for the last few years. Where's the money going to come from? Is this going to result in more money printing? And if so, as you mentioned, higher mortgage rates, that sounds to me kind of like the same theme that we've been discussing with both presidential candidates expect to spend a lot of money, which could put a floor on inflation. If that's the same theory, that's the idea of, are we going to reverse any of this inflation progress? That being said, with the UK being at 1.7%, they've come down a great, great distance from where it was. The question is, will it stay there depending on future policy? And in terms of a market's reaction, I think the number one thing is, you know, regardless of thought process on if certain tactics or strategies will work or not, simply put, is this going to lead to the Bank of England needing to keep rates higher to control inflation or not?
Yeah, it should be fascinating. Nick, thank you very much. We'll speak again next week.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.